Please stand by. We're about to begin. Good day and welcome to the Tivoli Talk, IBM TSM Hierarchical Storage Management for Windows version 5.5, Unleashing Reconciliation conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Cyrus Milchin. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody, and good afternoon. Today I have a pretty full schedule here. I have to cover the basics of our HSM product for Windows, and I will also focus on the new function that we have released with our version 5.5. Those are basically two new functions, and those are very important functions. One of them is reconciliation, and the other one is backup integration. We will have a Q&A session at the end of my presentation, so you can ask any type questions concerning the product. I also have our lead architect for this product from development on me with me for the question sessions, Q&A sessions at the end. That's Stefan Bender. And hopefully you have lots of good questions. With this having said, let me start. I am starting right on slide number 3. You can see the abstract here. I'm moving to slide number 4, which is the agenda. First of all, I'll talk a little bit about how this solution fits into our IBM service management strategy. Then I cover briefly the customer value, because you might have heard that before. Then I will dive into a technical overview. I will briefly cover the basics, real brief, since this call is really for people who know a little bit about it already. And then I will spend most of my time on what's new in this product. So let's move on to slide number 5, agenda slide, IBM Service Management. This is our strategy where we align all of our products as being part of the strategy. On slide 6, you see an architecture chart of our IBM Service Management strategy. Our HSM product is part of this strategy. It does help in certain areas. It helps in the area of visibility, control, and also automation. Real briefly, IBM Service Management. IBM Service Management solutions provide you with the integrated visibility, control, and automation across business and technology assets needed to achieve your business objectives. So that's really what it is all about, and our HSM product is aligned within this strategy. Now on slide 7, you see an HSM definition, and there are a couple of definitions out there, and if you talk HSM, depending who you talk to, you will find different definitions being present. We have HSM type functionality in our TSM server repository. That basically means we can move data through a hierarchy of storage. This could be considered HSM. Or this could be considered server-based HSM. Now, in this call, we talk about the other type of HSM, which is a client-based HSM. And this HSM can be described as a policy-based management system for migrating files. So a user basically looks at a file in the file system, maybe on a file server, and this file looks exactly as it would be there, as it would sit on that file server. But in reality, that file is being managed inside our TSM server, and the user really only looks at a so-called stub file. So that's what HSM is and how we understand it here. On slide 8, you see Gartner Storage Hype Cycle. That's actually a 2005 edition here. But all I want to say with this slide is that HSM is highly visible in the industry. It becomes more and more visible, and we expect soon that it will be a commonly used technology in the industry. So basically, this slide says it is hot. Everybody in the field looks at HSM, and it becomes even more importantly as file servers continue to grow. On slide number 9, a quick overview. We have two products, really. We have one product for Windows and one product for our Unix versions. Our Unix product does support AIX on Solaris, HPUX, and very importantly, Linux. And you might see in the future some more service, specifically service offerings appear that bundle our HSM product on Linux. Anyways, we got two products here, and they both provide HSM. They are a little bit different from a technology point of view, but they both use the same TSM server as their back end. Slide 10 is an agenda slide for the customer value, and slide 11 is a slide that talks about facts, okay? Facts that we see in the industry. First of all, you have to understand that information, when it's created, or data, when it's created, does not have equal value. So some things or some files are more important than others. Another fact is that IT resources should be allocated according to the value of the information. So, in other words, you want to keep your important files on, let's say, a DS8000 type disk system, where your files that are not so important, they could probably sit on serial ATA. So the idea is that IT resources are aligned with the value of information that the data contain on which they're stored. Another fact is information changes in value over time. So something that important for you today, like your 2007 balance sheet, might not be important in 5 years from now. So information changes in value over time. Another fact is that information has to be managed throughout its entire lifespan. So we, from the storage side of things, we have to take care of those information. So we have to take care of it also as it ages. So it's our responsibility to move those data from, let's say, high-class type storage to lower-class storage, such as tape. So these are some facts. On slide 12, you can see some common issue. Storage costs are increasing simply because customers keep more and more data on their file servers, larger numbers of files. We also see regulations coming in, like HIPAA and Sarbanes-Oxley, and those regulations might require you to keep data longer. So that's an issue. Another issue is, well, if your file servers are getting bigger and bigger and bigger, you might not get your backup done in time simply because you have so much data. As a result, servers are running out of storage space. Okay? So these are the issues, and by using HSM, you can solve those problems, or you can at least address them. So you store those data on less expensive offline media. So eventually, we recommend that you store those data on tape. So you take them from your file servers, and then you move them on to tape. Slide 12, a couple of customer pain points, what customers experience. They have a high utilization of expensive storage media. They have to add storage all the time. They have a very resource-intensive file server management. So it's hard for them to keep their file servers alive and performing. It's complex. They deal with many, many files and lots of space and lots of disks and lots of things that they have to do around those disks. They have to defragment. They have to do all sorts of tasks. They also experience long backup and recovery times. In some cases, their backup of their file servers just takes forever. They can't get it done overnight anymore. And, of course, slow response times. The more data you have, the more disk I/O you might see, and you actually have an impact on your applications, databases, and files when they are on such a big file server. So these are the customer pain points. And slide 14, we talk about a couple of target environments where this is a good solution, where you can target the HSM solution. Of course, customers who have TSM, customers who want to optimize their investment for different types of storage. So they want to use their storage smarter. Okay? They want to move data from high-class disk to lower-class disk or to tape. Customers who want to improve the availability of their file servers. And also customers who want to automate management tasks on their file servers. So it's really a very broad audience here, and you can absolutely position our HSM solution into accounts where customers do not yet have TSM already. So it can perfectly coexist in a different type environment. So let's say your customers do their backups with Veritas or with Commvault or somebody else, they can still go for our HSM solution. Of course, if they have TSM server already installed, it's almost like a no-brainer to add HSM into those accounts. Slide 15, here is where we want to introduce IBM TSM HSM for Windows. By the way, that's the product name. It's really IBM TSM HSM for Windows. And it provides HSM for Windows NTFS file systems. Whenever I talk about it, keep in mind we do have a very similar product for the Unix platforms as well. Okay, so what does it do? It basically HSMs an NTFS file system. It can do a complete one. It can do parts of it. It can do directories. It can do files. You can specify criteria of which data you want to migrate. And the whole migration is transparent to the Windows users and the applications. So the users see and access those files as if they would be there, okay, as if they would be physically stored on the file system. And they really are not. They are migrated, and they only show up as a stub in this file system. So slide 16, that's a summary slide. What's the value? Why should somebody buy this? And the answer is, first of all, they get improved application availability. Because inactive data, old data that you cannot delete, but data that's pretty inactive, can be moved offline. So the response time of this file server will increase if you do that. You can also speed up your recovery. if you have a crash on that server, if you have a disaster, if you lose your disk on that server, you have to recover. The recovery will be very, very quickly with HSM, because now you don't recover all those data. You basically recover only stubs instead of the full copy of the file. So your recovery is much quicker. That's the point here. Optimize storage resource utilization. You move low activity inactive files to a hierarchy of lower cost storage. That's really an information lifecycle management notion, an ILM notion here. Okay. You also reduce your backup time simply because you focus all your management activities around those active files, and the inactive files are offloaded. And of course, you enhance your storage personnel productivity because they don't have to manually do some cleanup activities. It's basically automatically done by the HSM product, which migrates data off. Slide 17, some qualifying questions. I don't want to go through them. Basically, this is what you want to ask a customer in order to position our HSM solution. And the key question really here is, are your file servers running out of space? And how much time does it take to recover those? Next, slide number 18, a couple of words on licensing pricing. Of course, they're subject to change. We did raise the price for this product, so we went from approximately, and that's the list price, and that's really just a rule, just a ballpark here. We went from like $1,200 per terabyte to $4,000 per terabyte. The pricing is per managed space. So in this, for this product, we do not look at the processors or the cores. We only look at the capacity that is managed inside TSM. And we only look for the primary storage pool. So if you do a copy storage pool, we don't charge you twice. We only look at the first occurrence of data inside of TSM. It's tier-based pricing. It's actually very simple. And we still have a very competitive entry price. We believe that we are significantly below our competitors here with this price. Okay, slide 19, technical overview. Let's drill down into the technical details here. Slide 20 shows basically how it works. You have a Windows file server. And this one is the one where our HSM client runs on, and it migrates data and also retrieves data transparently from and or to a TSM server, which has the storage hierarchy built in. Users now basically can see those data over SIFS or over an NFS share, and they can just work with it, and they don't have to install anything on their desktops. Our HSM client runs on the file server. Now, slide 21, a quick sequence in four steps what our product does. First, you can define so-called migration jobs. Those are the jobs that define what is being migrated. Then you can schedule them, step two, and run them. Step three, you can transparently recall files. So a user just double clicks on the file, waits a little bit longer, and boom, it comes back. Step four is reconciliation, which is a periodic run or periodic job that identifies any sorts of inconsistencies that might occur over time from your file system and your repository in the TSM server. So it basically synchronizes and makes sure that both are aligned with each other. Now, slide 22 shows the migration job. So we do have a graphical user interface here where you can define those jobs and where you can execute those jobs. So you can run them automatically from here, or you can have them scheduled through TSN scheduler or Windows or Tivoli Workflow, any type of scheduler can schedule those jobs. And you define those jobs in the GUI, all right? So slide 23 is a very important slide. And that slide shows now, and it's a 5.5 slide, it shows that when we run migration, we check if the files have been backed up before. So if the files are not being backed up, we do it totally integrated right from here. Okay? So make sure that we not only have the file in our archive for HSM, we also make sure that we have the file in our backup pools. Okay? So we make sure that all files are being backed up prior to migration through this process. And you can see it here on the slide, backed up 6, migrated 6. Basically means those files, they were not being backed up before, and we do it here for you. It's integrated in our HSM product. All right, slide 24, there are a couple selection criteria, so you can select what you want to migrate. You can go like with single file names. You can do it based on directories, file types, extensions. You can define all sorts of filters based on creation, modification, and so on. So, for example, you can say, I would like to migrate everything that's older than 6 months and bigger than 10 megabytes from the directory. That would be a very common rule. And our job, HSM job, will basically look constantly if files meet those criteria, and if so, they will be migrated. Slide 25, this is how a file looks in the Windows Explorer before it's being migrated. So you see the size and the size on disk. And on slide 26, you see the file, how it shows up after the migration. And there are only two indicators that this file has been migrated. Other than that, the file looks exactly the same. The two indicators are, you see a little icon on the lower left corner. It's a clock icon, and that indicates that this file has been HSM'd. And the other indicator is the size on disk. In this case, you see 4 kilobyte. So this file went down from almost 10 megabyte to 4 kilobyte. By the way, all the files will go down to 4 kilobyte. That's the fixed size of the stub. So that's really all you see after the migration. All the rest is just the same as it was before. Migrated files, again, this is how they look with a little clock, and I call those files stubs. Those are not really files. Those are just stubs, basically pointers to the original file in TSM. On slide 28, a couple of options to retrieve those files. You can double-click on the file icon, and we'll come back. You can open the appropriate application, let's say Microsoft Word, and you pick the file and come back. Or we can also use our GUI, our graphical user interface, our GUI, to bring those files back. So we can go in our graphical user interface, search for those, and then retrieve them. This is, of course, an administrator-type action. We also have the same action available through command line. Okay, so there's a four ways to get those files back. Slide 29 shows the double-click case, where you just double-click on one of those files. Slide 30 shows if you open it from inside Word. Slide 31 shows if an administrator searches for them, gets a hit list, and retrieves them. Same on slide 32. On slide 33, you see the command line and the various options. Command line also allows you to retrieve documents, of course. And slide 34 talks about some certain situations when a recall occurs and when not. Of course, when you double-click the file, when the operating system issues an open call, when you copy a stub, and when you move a stub outside the file system. A recall does not occur when you have a virus scanner, for example, running, and if you have if you do an incremental forever backup with a TSM BA client, a progressive incremental backup, it will also not occur. Okay, slide 35, a couple of best practices. Make sure that your antivirus software is configured correctly on those HSM directories, or maybe you might even want to exclude those. Slide 36, what environments do we support? We do support Windows 2003, 32-bit, and also the R2 version of it. We also supported based on professional assessment if that 2003 server is running under VMware. Now, one requirement that we have, it has to be NTFS. Okay, so it does not work on any other file system, not our HSM for Windows version. Okay, slide 37 is a little bit of summary. You select the file server you want to manage, you set the policy, and you let the system take care of the rest. So the whole solution, once configured, works automatically out of the box. Okay, let's move on to slide 38, and this is now the hot topic for this call, which is really about the new features in 5.5. Slide 39 shows you at a glance the new functions in 5.5. So first of all, very importantly, we have HSM backup integration now. And I think that we have a competitive advantage here. I believe our competitors that are in the field, they do not have this type of integration. Not that close. Okay? I'll talk about it later and describe what that integration really is. The next thing, reconciliation. We were missing this in the older versions of the product. Now we have it available. It is reconciliation, it is the synchronization, and it does synchronize the file system with a TSM server repository and vice versa. So it goes in both directions. You can clean up files that do not have an existing copy in the TSM server repository, and you can clean up data in the TSM repository that does not have a link or a pointer or a stub which points to them. So it basically takes care of both sides, the file system and the TSM server repository side. Another feature, recall user quotas, that was introduced in 5.4, and some smaller improvements at the end. Let's start with the HSM backup integration. That's on slide 40. Okay, we have one file copy and one stub in the backup pool. So that didn't change. That's the same architecture we had in 5.3 and in 5.4. So if you look at the picture in the lower right corner, the backup storage pool, we back up the file, so we have one copy of the file, and we also have a stub. So we also back up the stub. That's very important. In our backup storage pool, we have the file, and we have the stub. Okay? The file copy will not be expired until the stub copy expires. So we make sure that we always have a full backup of the complete file in the backup storage pool. Even if you set versioning to 1, we will still make sure that you have a valid copy of the full data in the TSM backup storage pool. Okay? The new thing in 5.5 now is that both are tied together. So they know about each other. So in other words, if you delete a file, or let's make this bigger, okay? You lose your file server. You have a complete disk crash. When you do the restore, you can now define what you want to restore. So most typically, you would just go with the standard restore, and we would restore the stubs. We would not restore the full file. We will only restore the stubs and recreate your server just the way it was before the crash. Okay? So now with that new integration, the stub and the file are tied together. Okay? We also have, of course, a copy of the file in the archive storage pool. That's the HSM type copy. Okay? So we have really, if you look at the whole picture, we have four, let me call it, instances of that file. You have a stub on your file system, you have a stub in your backup pool, and you have the file in your backup pool and also in your archive pool. And the whole system knows about each other. So we would not archive the file unless we know that we have a copy in the backup storage pool. So it's a very close integration. Okay, slide 41, a couple of comments on this. Each stub will always have an associated copy of the file in the backup pool. Okay? If an appropriate copy does not exist when we back up a stub, we will recall that file and then back it up to make sure we have one full version of that file in the backup pool. If you use selective or standard archive calls on those stubs, we will recall them. We will recall the file. When you do the restore, you can either restore the stub or the full file. You can pick. In most cases, you want to restore the stub, of course. And that's the default setting here. There are a couple of options in the TSMBA client to control the backup and restore process in conjunction with HSM. We do use a plugin for the interaction of the HSM and the TSM backup archive client. You can use different node names for those file systems, so one for the backup, one for your HSM archive. You can also use the same node name. It's not a problem. They will just show up in different pools. One will be archive, one will be backup. We do not, at this point, support inline copies of those migrated files. Now, slide 42, why do we do reconciliation, the next new feature? Well, it could be that there are inconsistencies between the file system and the TSM repository, specifically after stubs have been deleted, or specifically if files in TSM have expired. So those are the two main situations where you might see an inconsistency. Now, the reconciliation job does take care of this. Okay? So what is it doing? It removes obsolete files from the TSM server. Obsolete files are files that do not have a corresponding stub. So once you start the reconciliation job, it will automatically delete those files in the TSM server repository. Okay, that's one thing it does. It also detects orphan stubs in the local file system. Orphan stubs are stubs that sit there but don't have a copy in the TSM server. Okay? At this point in time, the reconciliation job will detect those stubs, and it will provide you with a list of those stub files. It will not yet automatically delete those, not at this point in time, but it will provide you a list with those files that are candidates for deletion. Okay? It runs automatically, and you can configure it. And the result is obsolete stubs in the file system and in the TSM and data in the TSM repository that don't have a stub anymore can be deleted. So inconsistencies in the TSM server repository are automatically resolved, and inconsistencies in the file system can be resolved by, you know, looking through the list of orphaned stubs. So that's what reconciliation does. And on slide 43, you see a graphical representation of this. So this is the way it works. First of all, there's a TSM HSM client, and this is the one that starts it all off. It goes step one, it does a query in the TSM server. So it finds out which ones are HSM migrated files. And it can do that because there's a flag in the TSM server that shows you which ones those are. So it goes to the TSM server first, then the TSM server returns basically a list with all those objects that are being migrated, and then it's kept in a container during that process. And then that would be then step four. The volume is being scanned. The whole thing works on volume basis. The volume is being scanned after this list. And in step 5A, the inconsistencies are being, possible inconsistencies are being detected. And then on step 5B, the obsolete objects are deleted in the TSM storage pool. In the archive pool, okay? So this is really in the archive pool. Reconciliation does not affect backup in any type. Okay. So this is basically how it works. It's a job, and you can start it in the graphical user interface and also through the command line. And on slide 44, you can see a sample list here of orphaned file identification. So we'll provide you the list, and we tell you, okay, those files in here, they don't have a corresponding representation of the data inside of TSM, so they're orphan stubs. And this list would identify them, and you see I have a whole list of orphan files here identified. Slide 45, quick recap on reconciliation and how it affects expiration. So many customers ask, how do I expire files if they're really, really old, if they're like 10 years old and I really want to finally get rid of them? They have two options now. First of all, option one is they let TSM archive retention expire the obsolete files based on age automatically. So they just enable the standard function in TSM archiving in the archive copy group and management class and just let it expire. Then they more or less automatically run reconciliation. Probably they schedule it frequently, and it will identify the orphan stubs because the corresponding objects are deleted in TSM, and then you can delete those orphan stubs. Okay, that's option one. Another option is you use other mechanisms to get rid of the stubs in the file system. One of those mechanisms could be TPC for data. You can actually use TPC for data, identify all those files based on many criteria, and then you can delete the stub. You can have TPC delete the stub. And in this case, you would have orphaned objects in TSM. So you have objects in TSM which do not have a stub anymore. Then you run reconciliation, and then reconciliation will automatically, and that's not a list, that will just happen, reconciliation will automatically delete those old objects inside of TSM. There is a condition in this reconciliation job which requires you to clean your orphan stubs before the reconciliation job with the delete files in TSM. So we are very careful in deleting data here, okay? Nevertheless, the reconciliation will put you in a position where you can expire data, okay? Slide 46, the recall quotas. That was a 5-4 deliverable. This basically means that you can define a quota per user, per group, of how many recalls are allowed per specific volume. So this prevents overloading faster with the HSM recall requests. And slide 47 shows that a little bit. And slide 48, there are some other functions that we built in. There's interoperability, so we made sure that everything works smoothly with the antivirus software. Basically, that recalls don't occur when they scan those files, and we also have make sure it works with a journal-based backup and also our CDP for files product. We do have some graphical user interface enhancements also, so there's a progress bar, and we can configure all the options. We can run also reconciliation from the graphical user interface, and we can also we also now provide your information about the migration job and the estimate time or duration. And we've also improved the file migration task itself. So there's a watermark built in, and we basically can migrate those data multi-threaded now. On slide 49, you see some future release candidates. So we want to enable the product to do threshold migration. So you basically say if the volume is 80% full, you want to migrate it down to 40%. We can do this in our Unix product. We cannot yet do it in the Windows product yet. We also want to make it work on Windows 2008, the Longhorn version in 64-bit, and we want to support IP version 6. On slide 50, I have some questions here and some answers. Basically, we do not support N-Series at this point in time, and that's because N-Series or NetApp filers, they use a different file system which is called WAFLs, and we do not support this. Do we support other NAS filers which use NTFS? Yes, in principle, yes. So whenever we have Windows running under on those NAS filers, it's automatically supported, more or less. There is a new service offering now, which is called SOFS, Scale Out File System. It's basically a NAS filer with GPFS built in, and that one is supported, but you have to use our HSM client for Linux. And it's actually not only supported but bundled with this offering. What else? Do we keep duplicate data in the TSM server repository? Yes, we do. So we have a file twice there, one for backup, one for archive. So we keep them there. And the reason why we do it is to make sure that a backup can actually be done on that server as well, and that it works smoothly together. Another question, do we make sure to always copy a file of the file in a backup pool rather than just a stub? Yes, that's really a new thing here. We make sure we always have a good full copy of the file in the backup pool. Now, can I mount, export a directory that's been HSM'd by us? Yes, you can do that. You can mount it out, share it through SIFS or NFS, and it will work fine. Now, the other way around does not work. So you cannot have like an N-Series box, share that directory onto a Windows box and then HSM it. That doesn't work. We have to run on the file system where the physical data reside, and that has to be NTFS. What about migration? We have a migration process for basically the stub files from the older versions. Okay, so with this having said, I would like to open it up for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Nilchin. The question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, please press star 1 on your touchtone telephone to ask a question, and we'll pause for a moment to give everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. Once again, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question at this time, that is star 1. It appears there are no questions at this time. Mr. Nilchin, I'd like to turn the conference back over to you for any additional or closing remarks today.
Yes, there is. I made one misspelling. The new service offering that we're coming out with, SOFS, is not scale out file system. It's scale out file services. Apologize for this. Okay, and other than that, happy selling.
This does conclude today's presentation. Thank you for your participation, and have a wonderful day.